And this morning, Tegan Hughes is calling home from pretty much the polar opposite of where home is. In fact, you couldn't get much further from home. Polar bears, walrus, glaciers, snowmobiles and husky dogs. This is the life in Svalbard, which is a visa-free state just near Norway. And it's in what's known as the Arctic Desert because of its lack of precipitation, and that counts both rain and snow. And the air is almost as dry as it would be in the Sahara. The Global Seed Vault is located in Svalbard. 1 million seed samples from all over the world are stored there. And cats are forbidden in order to protect the local fauna and bird life. And Tegan Hughes calls it home. Good morning, Tegan.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Where are you?
I'm up in Longyearbyen, Svalbard at the moment.
Is that a town?
Yeah, so it's a small settlement. There's just over 2,000 of us here. And we're located at 78 degrees north, so essentially just under the North Pole.
Oh, what's the weather like?
Today it's pretty foggy, but at the moment we're in the cusp of the midnight sun, so we have absolutely no darkness here.
24 hours daylight?
Yes.
How long does that go on for the year?
It's basically for 3 months of the year, and then on the flip side you'll have complete darkness for another 3 to 4 months of the year.
What's that like to live with?
It can be very interesting. You can definitely cope if you've got some really good friends, some good exercise habits, if you have access to dogs. It can be tough, but it's definitely doable.
Have you got access to dogs?
Yes, I'm actually I'm looking after 5 of my good friends' huskies right now.
Gee, what are they like?
They're very lovable. They need a lot of attention, and they have a lot of energy.
I bet they do. So that in 24 hours daylight, they'd be used to that their entire lives, obviously. So no big deal to them.
No difference to them, really.
Do they go to sleep?
Yeah, I have 2 sleeping on the couch with me right now. It seems like that's all they've been doing at the moment. But they're a lot more active in the winter time. So when there's snow on the ground, they'll do a lot more running.
What do you do for a job, Tegan?
So now we're in the summer season. So I'm a guide here, and I guide on quad bikes and on closed bike boat tours. But you have to go through a specific qualification to be a guide here because we have a lot of polar bears around us. So you basically need to be able to look after your guests and protect them from the polar bears.
Well, that's good in one way, though, that you see a lot of polar bears. Were you scared when you first came across one?
To be honest, part of me just feels like they're make-believe because I see very few polar bears up here. Which essentially maybe is quite a nice thing. You want them as far away from civilization as possible, but it can also be a tough thing because maybe it means that their numbers are declining as well.
I see. So they're not roaming around the village?
I can't say that. 2 years ago, around Christmas time, there was actually a polar bear that was walking through the village in the early hours of the morning. So it definitely can happen. But when that does happen, the governor here scares the polar bear away off in a very humane way. And then hopefully they don't return back to the settlement.
What way is that?
So they do it in a helicopter.
Fly over it.
Yeah, they're pushing them away with a lot of the wind and the noise that the helicopter makes, but they also have to be very careful because the polar bear can easily overheat if it's pushed too much for too long. But over short distances, like the polar bear can run up to 40 kilometres per hour over a short distance. So
that's fast.
Yeah, it is quite fast. But if the polar bear does return back to town, then they'll get a specialist on board with them, and they'll tranquilise the polar bear and then put them in the helicopter and fly them further north.
How did you come to be living in Svalbard?
I started living in northern Norway and working as a dog musher. And everyone that I met there in the guiding community couldn't stop talking about Svalbard and about this guiding school that we have up here. And it just seemed like the natural next step in my guiding career. You come up here and you do 1 year at the university studying to be a guide here, and it's basically 1 year of being outside and having a lot of fun in Svalbard.
You obviously don't mind the cold.
No, so I've actually just arrived here after doing a season down at Scott Base as well. So I think I like the cold, but I think I like the cold when I'm wearing good quality clothing. That's the main thing.
What are you wearing? What do you take your gear with you, or are there great outdoor clothing shops there?
I wear a lot of Swazi from New Zealand.
Yes.
I have to say that because it's my family's company.
Is it?
Yeah. But other than wearing Swazi, I wear a lot of wool based clothing here. So a lot of merino. A lot of thick woolen jumpers. It's quite popular here to knit your own sweaters, so I had to learn pretty fast to knit. Layering is key to surviving up here.
Well, that's an incredible skill to learn quickly, knitting. The traditional Norwegian jumpers.
Yeah, yes it is.
They're fantastic. You'll have to pump one of those out while you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your home like? Where do you live?
So at the moment I'm staying at my friend's cabin. So it has no running water, but we have a lot of water tanks around. And it has like a toilet that basically burns everything up. And right now we have a rifle that's sitting at the door just in case we get a visit from a polar bear. God forbid, you absolutely never want to have to deal with that. It's just like a cozy little cabin. The one thing that is really nice up here is everything is very insulated and warm.
Is it? So the cabins are double glazed, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Yes, and heat pumps, fireplaces, everything.
And when you say that it's burnt, do you mean literally burnt?
Sorry, what do you mean by burnt?
No, the toilet.
Oh, I actually don't understand how it works. I just know that they have, you open up the toilet, there's like a paper lining that you put on it. You do your thing and then you push a button and then it magically just gets it gets burnt away, so you don't have to deal with it.
Interesting. Don't think I've ever heard of that kind of a toilet.
It's called a Cinderella toilet.
Cinderella, right.
I figure.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that one. What about food there in Svalbard? What do they eat?
We basically import everything from mainland Norway. And as you probably know, mainland Norway is incredibly expensive. So because we're importing it as well, everything, fresh vegetables, meat, the reindeer meat is very popular up here. Yeah, so any meat, any condiments, everything is incredibly expensive. I believe a coffee in the coffee shop is like $9 New Zealand right now. So if you're living here, even though it is tax-free, it's still very expensive.
And what do you personally eat? Do you eat reindeer, and are you a vegetarian or
yeah.
What?
I eat reindeer. I eat a lot of salmon. I try and eat a lot of vegetables up here and keep as healthy as I can, just because of the lifestyle here. You want a bit of extra fat on you to be able to survive the cold. So, of course, a lot of chocolate and wine as well.
What kind of wine do they drink?
I always buy New Zealand wine whenever I go into the store. Yeah, always. So even if it's a little bit more expensive, it makes me very happy. So I also encourage everyone up here to buy New Zealand wine too.
So the shopping's okay. You've obviously got good choices, even though it might be a bit expensive.
Yeah, we have a really good choice. It's just whether or not it's in stock or not. So sometimes you do go to the store with something in mind that you want to make and they'll be completely out of that product. So you just have to sort of visit quite frequently to get exactly what you want.
So if I'm thinking about a countdown or a pack and save here in New Zealand, what are the stores like there, the supermarkets?
It's much smaller. It's more... Yeah, it's a lot smaller, and then it has a lot more sort of at-home products. So you'll have blankets, you'll have cushions, you'll have anything to basically outfit your house as well as the food.
And what about the neighbourhood that you live in? Can you describe, if you were looking out your cabin door, can you see the neighbours?
I can see the neighbours. I can also see an abandoned mine sitting in the side of the mountain. There's a couple of reindeer. There's some eider ducks nesting and a whole lot of parked up snowmobiles.
Really? And how, what about the people who live there? What nationalities are they, mainly Norwegian or international?
Majority is Norwegian, but Svalbard is a visa-free location. So as long as your country signed the Treaty of Svalbard, which New Zealand did, anybody can come and live up here and work up here and basically have the same rights as any Norwegian. We also have a Russian settlement, which is actually equally populated with Russians and Ukrainians. And then we have a science base further north, which is mainly Norwegian, but also quite international.
How are they getting on, the Ukrainians and the Russians, with the invasion of Ukraine at the moment in terms of their living together?
So there's been a few reports that have come out saying that they're coping just fine. I mean, these people live in a very small community. Barentsburg, which is where they live, has only around 350 people. So, and these people have also known each other for a very long time. So apparently they're getting on just fine, and they just avoid all talks to do with politics, religion, the war, anything like that. But there's... it's quite interesting times here in Svalbard, because a lot of the tourist companies that used to take people into these Russian settlements have got together and decided that they're not going to go into the settlements this past winter season and this current summer season, just because they don't really want to put money in the Russians' pockets.
Well, that can't be good for the local economy.
No, it's not good. So it'll be quite interesting to see how long this goes on for, and the effect that it does have on that small community there.
What is the main source of income in Svalbard?
So it used to be coal mining, but now it's tourism, and we also have a lot of research and science up here as well.
Oh, from international scientists.
Yeah, and we have a university here which focuses a lot on climate change and all sorts of things. So we have a lot of international people doing their masters or PhDs will come up and study at the university here.
So I'm imagining that everybody gets around on a snowmobile, but are there cars?
Yeah, there. I mean, it's a small place. We only have 40 kilometres worth of roads. And that includes all of like the dirt roads that are going into cabins and stuff as well. So, unfortunately, we do have quite a lot of cars here and a lot of brand new Toyota Hiluxes as well, which I have no idea why you need a brand new car up here. But yeah, come wintertime, it'll be a lot of snowmobiles, dog sleds, cross-country skis, all of those sorts of things.
What about the language? What language do they speak?
It's either Norwegian or English.
So, Izzy, do you speak Norwegian?
I should speak much better Norwegian than what I do right now. But when you're dealing with tourists and friends and work colleagues that speak English, you become quite lazy and you just constantly revert to English.
You might pick it up quickly, like the knitting.
Yeah, I hope so.
And things like saunas and steam baths, are they popular?
Yes, so we have a sauna down at the harbour that you can rent out, and then you can have a sauna and jump into the water. So we have that. There's a few saunas that are owned by people who have cabins, but other than that, a lot of people that live in town live in apartments. So they're very modern. And there's not so many saunas in town.
And what about socialising? What do you do for when you go out, if you go out?
We have a lot pubs.
Yes.
So you can definitely go after work and have a beer with your work colleagues. We also have like an outdoor barbecue area that a lot of people go to and make a fire, and it's very popular to cook hot dogs on these fires. You go out hiking. We do have one nightclub, which is quite hilarious because you have to be very careful when you go home from the nightclub because it's very cold here, so you can't be wearing your drunken winter coat. But yeah, everyone here is, it's a very young outdoor population here. So a lot of people, they hang out by going and doing their favorite outdoor activities. We have a kayaking club, we have rock climbing club, all sorts of things.
Do you mind me asking how old you are, Tegan?
I'm 32.
32, right. And do you plan on staying for a while?
Oh, that's the golden question. Yeah, I hope my parents aren't listening to this, but yeah, Svalbard is a place where it really sort of captures you when you come up here. So yeah, I'm very tempted to stay for the next season, which will be the snowmobile season. That's a lot of fun. You get to explore a lot more of the archipelago. And then of course you have the Northern Lights and the complete darkness and everything there as well. So I would love to stay and do that again. And then we just see, I mean, we're so incredibly far away from New Zealand, so it's quite difficult to live this far away from home.
Yes, your parents will be listening to this. Would you like to say hello to them?
Hi, Mum and Dad.
And do you know how to use that rifle?
Yes, yeah, so as I mentioned before, so Swazi Apparel is my family's company, so as a sort of family rite of passage, yeah, we spent quite a few weekends up in the hills hunting. So it was an easy transition for me. But like the company that I work for, it's mandatory that we go to the shooting range at least once a month.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you so much for calling home. Really good to talk to you, Tegan. And what's your plans for the rest of the day?
I have a boat trip that's going out today, so hopefully we can see some walruses and we'll head to one of the glacier fronts.
Wow. Are they melting rapidly, those glacier fronts?
Some of them are. Some we have a lot of glaciers here in Svalbard that they're basically and essentially stuck to the ground because we have so much permafrost here. So they're not moving as rapidly. But then others are. You can see are moving quite fast and calving quite a lot.
I didn't mean to make that a joyful affair.
Yeah.
But it's just the way it seems to be happening around the world, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you can definitely see the effects of global warming the most up here in Svalbard.
Thanks, Tegan. Good to talk to you today.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you.